Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, June 27th, 2025. We begin on page one, where the main photograph is titled Safe and Secure, and a policeman is helping a child in a car seat. The caption reads, Normal Police Department Public Information Officer Brad Park inspects a car seat on Wednesday, June 25th, 2025, during a safety checkup event at the State Farm Operations Center in Bloomington. Safe Kids Worldwide and State Farm worked together on the event to offer resources and support for parents to ensure that car seats are installed and used correctly, helping to prevent child injuries in traffic. And our main story is about Election 2026, headlined Pritzker Launches Third Term Bid. Governor Leaves Door Open to Presidential Campaign in 2028. This story is datelined Springfield. With a pledge to keep Illinois moving forward, Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker launched his campaign for re-election on Thursday, making him the first Illinois governor in more than four decades to seek a third term while potentially setting the stage for a 2028 presidential campaign. Pritzker, age 60, in a two-minute video filmed at the purported geographic center of Illinois in eastern Logan County, said, Illinois is standing at the center of the fight. And while he said Republican President Donald Trump has made clear he'll stop at nothing to get his way, Pritzker vowed he was not about to stand by and let him or Trump tear down all that we're building in Illinois. I am running for re-election to protect our progress and continue solving the problems we face, Pritzker said in the video. I love this state, and it is the honor of my life to serve as your governor, to help lead through the most challenging of times and celebrate the most joyful ones together. I'm ready for the fight ahead. Pritzker then said that whether you're at the center of Illinois or anywhere else, join me. Let's keep Illinois moving forward. The governor kicked off a two-day campaign tour with a rally on Chicago's South Side at the same field house where he launched his first gubernatorial campaign in 2017 before making stops in Rockford, Peoria, and Springfield. Pritzker will be in Belleville and Franklin County in southern Illinois on Friday. Pritzker, flanked by his wife MK, told supporters in Chicago that he was prepared to be a happy warrior when first elected and that he suited up to face the carnival barkers and misery spelunkers and doom grifters. He joked that he handed out optimism like a shot of Malort, referring to the infamous Chicago liqueur known for its bitter taste. While touting progress over the past 6.5 years, Pritzker said, there is no mission accomplished banner to stand under today, and we have work to do. I ran for governor in 2018 to change our story, Pritzker said. I ran for governor in 2022 to keep telling our story, and I am running for governor in 2026 to protect our story. The businessman-turned-politician, who was elected in 2018 and re-elected in 2022, was widely expected to run for a third term. He is the state's first chief executive to do so since former Governor Jim Thompson, a Republican who was ultimately elected to four terms covering a span from 1977 to 1991. In his launch, Pritzker offered Illinois up as a contrast to the chaos and craziness emanating from Washington. He criticized Trump's imposition of tariffs as well as proposed cuts to Medicaid and changes to the tax code that would disproportionately benefit wealthier people. At the same time, he touted his fiscal stewardship of the state. Illinois has received 9 credit rating upgrades and entirely paid down its once massive bill backlog since he took office in 2019, while highlighting key policy wins from his first two terms, such as increasing the minimum wage to $15 an hour, enacting an assault weapons ban, and a number of measures that have made Illinois a haven for abortion rights in the Midwest. He offered glimpses of the issues that may animate the campaign, telling his supporters that we must reckon with the fact that everything is too damned expensive. He also promised to continue efforts to reform the healthcare field, putting the insurance industry, nursing homes, and pharmaceutical companies on notice that money cannot buy you love in my administration. Pritzker, a billionaire heir to the Hyatt Hotel fortune, self-funded his 2018 and 2022 campaigns, spending $171 million and $167 million, respectively. He is expected to do so again. He has also donated heavily to an array of other candidates and causes. The effort has helped establish Pritzker as the dominating force within the Democratic Party of Illinois, as well as a power player in national politics. The Chicago Democrat has significantly upped his national profile in recent years. He was a prominent surrogate for President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris's presidential campaigns in 2020 and 2024. And after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, Pritzker founded Think Big America, a dark money nonprofit group advocating for abortion rights in states where the issue is on the ballot. The group, primarily funded by Pritzker, has given millions in support of pro-abortion rights initiatives since 2023. Pritzker has also traveled the country, delivering keynote speeches at state Democratic Party functions, including in North Carolina next month. In the early days of Trump's second term in office, Pritzker has emerged as one of the president's most direct and pugnacious critics. At a New Hampshire Democratic Party fundraiser in April, he called for mass protests, mobilization, and disruption to oppose the administration. And during his State of the State address in February, Pritzker, who is Jewish and helped build the Illinois Holocaust Museum and Education Center in Skokie, alluded to the rise of Nazi Germany in raising alarm over Trump's early actions. Pritzker said he was not speaking up in service to my ambitions, but in deference to my obligations, the former a reference to the governor's status as a potential candidate for president in 2028. While Pritzker said it was tempting to lay all the problems facing the state and country at the feet of the megalomaniac narcissist in the White House, referring to Trump, and his magnificent clown car in Congress, he said that we all share some of the blame. He then echoed criticism he made in April when he described do-nothing Democrats who want to blame our losses on our defense of black people and trans kids and immigrants instead of their own lack of guts and gumption. For too long, politicians have chosen what is safe over what is bold, Pritzker said on Thursday. It is time to take our cues from the young people showing up and shouting out that you cannot abandon the fight before you even start it. Fear of failure is not an excuse to never even try. He then called for Democrats to stand up for diversity, equity, and inclusion, along with the rights of LGBTQ people, immigrants, and people of color, arguing that if you did it when it was easy, then you'd better be standing up for it now when it's hard. Who I am and what I stand for is not a bit, Pritzker said, adding that I don't really care what the D.C. dinner circuit thinks about my unabashed defense of democracy and courage and kindness. However, such comments, coupled with the governor's robust political calendar, media hits, and penchant for attacking Trump, have led many to speculate that he is preparing for a White House run. While Pritzker and his aides have long deflected questions on the subject, his status as the incumbent governor of the nation's sixth-largest state comes with a bully pulpit that will keep him in the arena for the next several years. The growing national gaze could present ammunition to state Republicans likely to accuse Pritzker of neglecting his responsibilities as governor. Illinois Republican Party Chair Kathy Salvey said that Pritzker's record as governor merits firing, not rehiring. While businesses and families flee, Pritzker sees Illinois as nothing more than a stepping stone for the White House, she said. Illinois House Minority Leader Tony McCombie, Republican of Savannah, said that the third-term Pritzker slump won't be any better than seasons 1 and 2. We know what to expect. Agency mismanagement, regressive taxation, and record spending, she said. Illinois families need a governor for all people who understands true bipartisanship and growing our economy. Some questions remain unanswered. Pritzker needs to find a new running mate, as Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton is among candidates seeking the Democratic nomination for the U.S. Senate seat held by retiring Senator Dick Durbin. Pritzker did not announce his pick on Thursday, but will need to have it locked in before his campaign can start collecting signatures to secure a place on the primary ballot in a few weeks. And while Pritzker will go essentially unchallenged in the Democratic primary, it is uncertain what level of fight the state's Republicans will put up against him. In 2018, Pritzker faced off against then-Governor Bruce Rauner, another self-funder who sank hundreds of millions into his runs for office. And in 2022, billionaires Ken Griffin and Richard Uihlein spent millions unsuccessfully backing candidates opposing Pritzker. But Rauner and Griffin have both since moved to Florida and have been inactive in Illinois politics in recent years. While Pritzker is deeply unpopular among Illinois Republicans, the state tilts Democratic. All statewide office holders are Democrats. Republicans have not won a statewide election in a decade, and it is unclear if anyone in the opposition party will be able to mount a serious challenge. During his first two terms, Pritzker has racked up a significant list of progressive policy wins. Beyond raising the minimum wage and banning assault weapons, Pritzker in 2021 signed legislation making Illinois the first state in the nation to abolish the use of cash bail as a condition of pretrial release. He also signed landmark climate legislation aiming to get the state to 100% renewable energy generation by 2050, legalized recreational marijuana sales and consumption, and signed the $45 billion capital construction program known as Rebuild Illinois. Pritzker also led the state through the turbulent COVID-19 pandemic, though he was criticized by Republicans for what they considered a heavy-handed response that left the state's schools and businesses closed longer than many other states around the country. He has embraced his role as the state's chief marketing officer in attracting business to the state. Pritzker has especially sought to bring industries of the future to Illinois, including electric vehicle manufacturers and parts suppliers, along with businesses in the realm of quantum computing. However, the state's population remains stagnant and its unemployment rate lags behind several surrounding states and the country as a whole. Our next front page story is about Independence Day, headlined, Police Say Be Safe and Legal on the 4th. This story is datelined Bloomington. As Independence Day weekend approaches, Bloomington Normal police and state officials are urging the public to use fireworks safely and legally. In Bloomington Normal, no consumer fireworks that explode, such as bottle rockets, Roman candles, and fireworks, are generally allowed. Anything that flies through the air or goes bang is usually not allowed, said Bryce Jansen, public information officer for the Bloomington Police Department. The police departments are increasing patrol staffing ahead of and through the holiday weekend, too, as officers field a higher number of complaint calls. The calls may include safety hazards, injuries, or property damage related to fireworks in residential areas, said Brad Park, public information officer for the Normal Police Department. Calls are prioritized based on volume and severity, he said. Typically, officers will respond to the area, issue warnings, or confiscate illegal fireworks, Park said. For repeat or serious violations, the use of fireworks can lead to citations or even arrests, though the public information officers say their departments typically do not write very many ordinance violations. If officers identify the address where a complaint was called in as one that has had frequent issues, they could issue an ordinance violation, Park and Jansen said. If residents are being reckless, that can play a role as well, Jansen added, and individuals can be cited depending on the circumstances. Generally, law enforcement agencies advise residents to leave fireworks to the professionals. Public fireworks displays will start at dusk, Friday, July 4th, at Miller Park in Bloomington and Fairview Park in Normal. Many people enjoy celebrating the 4th of July with consumer fireworks to light up the night sky, but these come with serious risks that are often underestimated, said Acting Illinois State Fire Marshal Alan Rain. We strongly encourage everyone to attend professional fireworks displays instead, where safety measures are in place. Choosing safer alternatives, like glow sticks instead of sparklers, can help ensure a fun, festive, and injury-free Independence Day celebration. To report an issue with fireworks in Bloomington, call BPD Dispatch at 309-820-8888. To report fireworks in Normal, call non-emergency dispatchers at 309-888-5030. Residents should not call 911 to report fireworks unless they cause a fire or someone is injured. While certain novelty items, like sparklers and snakes are legal, using them can still be dangerous, according to the Office of the State Fire Marshal and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Sparklers burn more than 1,200 degrees, hot enough to melt many metals and turn steel glowing red. An instantaneous touch can cause a burn and may result in permanent damage or scarring, according to the National Fire Protection Association. Sparklers account for the greatest number of fireworks injuries, often involving the youngest victims. Fireworks started an estimated 31,302 fires in 2022, including 3,547 structure fires, 887 vehicle fires, and 26,492 outside and other fires, the NFPA said. These fires caused an estimated 6 civilian deaths, 44 civilian injuries, and $109 million in direct property damage. These fires are not only caused by commercial and consumer fireworks, but also by unregulated novelty fireworks that are sometimes purchased at local supermarkets. During the July 2024 seasonal reporting period, 45 hospitals and facilities reported a total of 156 injuries with one fatal injury, and of 98 people injured during the 2024 seasonal reporting period, about 50% of those injured suffering multiple injuries. To encourage residents to do what they can to protect their hearing during fireworks displays, Bloomington Normal Audiology is giving away free earplugs until the 4th of July, limited to one pair per person. Fireworks are a classic American tradition, and admittedly, protecting your hearing is not something most people think about when they head to Miller Park or Fairview, but a single firecracker can hit 150 decibels at close range, which is on par with the loudness of a shotgun blast and well above the threshold for immediate hearing damage. Signs of potentially permanent hearing damage following an exposure include ringing or tinnitus and muffled hearing, Dr. Natalie McKee, owner of Bloomington Normal Audiology, said in a statement provided to the Pantograph. She said the concern is not just about volume, but also proximity and exposure time, noting the closer you are to the blast, the greater the impact. And for children, the risks can be even higher for their smaller and more sensitive ear canals. The Bloomington Normal audiologist recommends keeping a distance of at least 500 feet and wearing ear protection to reduce the intensity of sound, and for children to wear earmuff-style hearing protection for effectiveness and comfort. It may not seem like one night of fireworks could do much damage, but remember, hearing loss from loud noise is cumulative and permanent, the doctor said. Bloomington Normal Audiology at 816 South El Dorado Road in Bloomington is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and from 8 a.m. to noon on Saturdays. And our last front page story is the Cutting Board column, headlined Prep and Maybe Help Makes Better Burgers. Growing up, Independence Day meant two things to us: fireworks and burgers on the grill. As I got older and started moving around more, the fireworks stayed the same, but the burgers changed pretty much every year and every new place. I'm not saying that's a bad thing by any means. I just never felt like I had a burger recipe I could call home. Over the past several years in this town, I've been tinkering with one that I finally just about like. And I wanted to share it with my work village. So on Wednesday, I brought my grill from home and set dinner time for all my coworkers at 5 p.m. at the Pantograph. Oh boy, I have to say that I am reminded of Icarus, the Greek myth, not my brother's dog. Grab the charcoal and giant spatula, folks, because the cutting board is making burgers, lots of burgers. This being an Independence Day edition, I set out to make a feast for the news crew. I knew I wanted to make potato salad and grill some veggies alongside the burgers. So I picked up a few pounds of red potatoes from Sam Knapp at Windermere Farms in Tremont, tomatoes and zucchini from Kai and Glenn at the Table Farm and Workshop in Benton, and smoky, spicy pickles from Jake Ijem at That's My Jam in Peoria. All of these items are available at the downtown Bloomington Farmers Market on Saturday mornings. I have made this style of burgers with leaner meat-to-fat ratios like 90-10 and even 93-7, but I was looking to recreate the McDonald's McDouble, which means I wanted a higher fat content for a greasy, messy facsimile of Americana sold by the millions daily nationwide. Luckily, Marshall Nafziger from M&M Family Farm in Hopedale was selling 80-20 ground beef for $5 a pound last Saturday. He's been growing livestock his whole life, but has been in the beef business for a little over a decade now. Nafziger and his wife Megan sell many different cuts of meat at several farmers markets across central Illinois and at their farm in Hopedale. While they do not raise the cows from birth there, the cows finish their lives at the Nafziger's farm before being processed, a nice word meaning they go straight to the butcher. I knew I had a lot of mouths to feed, so I picked up 6 pounds of beef for a grand total of $30, which honestly is a steal. And while the Nafzikers won't be at the Bloomington Market this weekend, orders for pickup can be placed by emailing mandmfamilyfarms@gmail.com or calling 309-648-4521. Again, I'm not trying to be fancy. We're trying to recreate a fast food burger. Simplicity is key. Let's break down the meaty goal. Two thin beef patties sandwiching a slice of American cheese with diced rehydrated onions, sour pickles, ketchup, and mustard. I'm not and then rehydrating my onions, but I still wanted them softer. So after a fine dice, I added a pinch or two of salt and let that draw out the water content, making them softer. The aforementioned pickles, brined alongside a chipotle pepper, should add sufficient funk to the pickles. Next, a few packages of processed cheese product from the grocery will suffice, along with America's two favorite red and yellow condiments. Now to the patties. I have a kitchen scale that I use to provide uniformity when I make burgers. First, I weighed out 60-gram meatballs of beef, being careful not to overwork the ground meat. And then I used a small plate and sheets of wax paper to smash them thin. I ended up with a stack of 45 patties. This can be done a few hours in advance, and the patties can be left in the fridge until ready to cook. Just considering the number of burgers I was making, that's something I should have done the day before. Over a piping hot charcoal, I cooked 4 patties at a time, flipping once and immediately adding a single slice of cheese when removed from the grill. I don't know how many of you have worked at McDonald's before, but they season their patties as soon as they hit the grill. So that's what I did. Patty down, season with salt, pepper, garlic, and onion powder. It took me a few rounds to get into a rhythm, and here are a few things I learned. I should have kept my ingredients chilled up until the moment I was ready to cook because the summer heat started melting the cheese. 60-gram patties are slightly too small. Perhaps the originally planned 80 grams or even 75 grams would mean a more solid burger. And most importantly, I really should have let my friends help me. I have this silly issue when I'm cooking for people. I feel like I have to control every little variable. I have to make the potato salad. I have to cut up the watermelon. I have to make the skewers. I have to weigh out, form, press, and cook the patties. I have to make sure no one lifts a finger to help. Or so I tell myself. I planned on having all 22 burgers, hot dogs, veggie skewers, and veggie burgers done at 5 p.m. Needless to say, I felt my wax wings melt from the heat of the grill. Food was not served until just before 6, and I started beating myself up. Even now, writing this a day afterward, I'm thinking of what I could have done to make sure that I alone had done everything properly. But I didn't need to, and I still don't. Pretty much everyone in the office asked me at least once, "Do you need any help?" And I'm sure we all hear that in one way or another when we're working on any project, big or small. I'm very grateful for my little village here, and I really wish that I had taken them up on their offers. I didn't completely fail. No one got sick, and almost everyone got to eat. There were even some compliments on the potato salad. And yeah, I think this kind of resembles the McDouble. For my part, the beef was super tasty and much better than anything from the supermarket. But I think there's a lesson to learn here going into this 4th of July. None of us is alone. We all have people around us who care, who are willing to lend a hand or share the burden of whatever we're facing in these turbulent times. So as we seek to celebrate this great country of ours, let us try and remember what makes it so wonderful, much more so than the burgers, the fireworks, the anthems, and any sort of fanfare. We are so much greater when we stand, not stoic and alone, but when we stand together, when we all work together. Anything is possible, especially a backyard barbecue. And today's flick fact question is, Which has priority and right of way, that freight train running through town or the Amtrak taking you to Chicago or St. Louis? And the answer is, it's actually the freight. The federal government owns the track, and Amtrak just pays a service fee. Thanks to Ed Finney. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, June 27th, 2025. I look forward to reading part two with you next.